Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
94.3 WIBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Jose Canelaro. This is the Electric Drum. I'm with Ron Coleman. NewHavenCounts.org and so much more, providing, not financial, but mathematics and, literacy to our students all across the city. So let's get into it. Mr. Coleman, where are you from?
I am from New Haven and North Haven. Born at Yale New Haven Hospital. Went to New Haven private school growing up, but lived in North Haven, Connecticut, and my folks still live in North Haven.
How was your youth growing up?
My youth was exciting. It was full of athletics and academics, and I think, looking back, that's what led me to what I'm doing now, leading sports programs, leading math programs, supporting educators, supporting families, supporting kids. I just felt very supported growing up, had lots of programs, got to play youth sports at the pretty much, almost the highest level, like Olympic development soccer program growing up. I hated it at the time, but I look back and it was a blessing.
What kind of parents did you have?
I had very loving parents. I had parents just like most people that were trying to figure it out, right? Our parents are doing the best they can with the information they have. I look back and, man, they did a hell of a job.
Tell me a little bit about your mom.
My brother and I both love my mom to death. Most people would probably call us mama's boys. My mom was an educator growing up. My mom was very connected to, she was an only child, very connected to her mother. Both educators, both work for the city. Both care deeply about knowledge. They care deeply about those who love them and those who they loved. She just wanted the world for us. She told us we could do anything, but we had to be prepared and we had to be kind to people. You never know. The thing that I remember most about my mom growing up was, even if she didn't like people, she didn't let you know, until I got older. But it was like, dang, you really were that nice to someone who wasn't necessarily that nice to you, or who had done things, behind your back or things like that. And so my mom was like, what other people do, you can't control. But you can control what you do, and God sees everything. Mm. And that's something that has stuck with me. You'll probably ask me, but, there are times, all of us growing up, that we stray away from our core beliefs, or we stray away from the principles, that foundation. But I think the stronger that foundation when you start, the easier it is to come back to that, and the quicker you come back to that after you deviate.
Your father.
My dad's my best friend. Some people laugh when I say that, but I'm like, that's my homie. My dad and I are literally twins, just 30 years apart. The mannerisms, it's crazy seeing it now. He's in his mid-60s, but energy wise, like, he's like 35 like I am. I think he's just got a great appreciation for life. He loves his grandchildren, not my kids. I don't have kids yet, but my brother has two kids. He loves them to death. He will do anything for us. He'll do anything for them. And he's just a smart, cool dude. Mm.
Well, how does it feel sometimes we're unaware of our privilege, right? Having that kind of male role model in your life, seeing the impact that you have on the kids you work with. What kind of impact has he had in your life?
He just makes me want to be a better person. Now you got me getting all emotional here. But I love it. I love it. My mom and my dad sacrificed so much for us growing up. Could think of the amount of money, the amount of loans that they put into our education, into our sports, into our travel. Like, we've seen a lot of this country. We've seen a lot of Central America, the Caribbean, South America. We've seen most of Europe. and you know, not all of that is them. Some of that was on our own, but I just want to make sure as they get older, I'm in a position to really help and give back. Hmm. Yeah.
What ethic that really sticks about your dad? What was one thing that you live with every day that it's in your ear?
Get up early and get after it. Like he, when you commit to something, like you commit 100%. I'm a math guy, so I know people say 110% for the impossible. you commit to it and you give it your all, or you back out. And so I think now I'm like reflecting right here about what are all the things that I'm doing that I might not be giving my all to, right? And it's like, no, I'm giving my all with the time that I have for that. So I do think, you know, energy wise and all that, I'm following in those principles, but, he too also is just like, you know, you need rest as well. And rest is important because you can't give it your all without rest. So, you know, Still learning how to adopt all that into every single day and every single week. But I think for the most part, I'm doing pretty well with that.
Do you got a little story with your brother and your dad hanging out, or a misadventure?
Yeah. Ooh, good story. I mean, we got a lot of stories from growing up. Summertime, they would always rent a house in the vineyard, take us for 2 weeks, you know, packing up the car with all the food for the week. You know, we go out to eat a little bit and stuff, but, you know, going to Mad Martha's, pulling the rings on the carousel. Like, you know, if there was a round where one of us didn't pull the ring, it was like, man, somebody got us. We played sports a lot too. And I think this is something that really has translated into why we added sports into New Haven Counts. Is that, grew up playing sports, obviously, but just after school, weekends growing up, my dad, my brother, and I, we'd have one-on-one tournaments. We'd play home run derby. We'd have penalty kick shootouts for soccer. So, yeah, it wasn't just one sport. It was a lot. We never got into tennis competitively or even organized. But we'd set up across the driveway and play. I used to run tournaments in our neighborhood. It was a privilege, yeah, growing up with at least five or six other families that had kids our age. Ping pong, though, I think that's where it got the most heated. We had the ping pong table in the living room, and my dad had played ping pong high school and college. So he'd teach us how to put spin on it, backspin, forehand, drop shots. And it really, you know, at the point where we started to be able to compete, like high school, that's when it really got fun.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a great foundation. Great foundation. Now you say you went to a private school.
Yeah.
Where did you go?
So kindergarten through eighth grade, I went to the Foot School, great institution, small classrooms, caring teachers. Trouble at the Foot School wasn't real trouble, you know, but it really, what I really appreciated was the ability to not care about being a nerd or being smart.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was actually weirder if it was the other way and you didn't care about school. And so there was no like pretending to be smart or having to get bad grades on assessments to be cool. I think everybody there, and this probably comes from parents and, you know, when the norm's one thing, that's just the norm, right? That we could do well in life if we were smart, kind, and athletic. Huh. And that was it. And it was simple. It was like, being smart doesn't hurt anybody. Go do it. Being kind doesn't hurt anybody except people who want to be mean. Go do it and be athletic. You being athletic doesn't hurt anybody.
Being proud of your skill set.
Absolutely.
Having pride in what you can bring to the table.
Amen. Amen. It's the thing that we try to preach the most is it's not about, when being smart, it's not about grades necessarily. Grades are good, but it's not just about grades. Being kind is not just about getting something from somebody else. And then the athletic piece, it's not to say I'm the best, right? It's about team too, and about just your physical health. And so developing the skills is the thing that'll always carry you through, whether you meet a subject that's difficult and you're struggling, right? It's not about the grade that you get on tomorrow's test. If you're struggling, you know it's going to be a bad grade because you're struggling. But can you persevere through that? And can you go ask for help? And can you relate it to something else to try to do a little bit better? And then just on the kindness side, it's like trying to really get introspective about why you're being kind, how you're being kind, how you're also reading other people's emotions too. Because sometimes you could think you're being kind, but somebody thinks you're being phony. And it's about, okay, well, how do you navigate that? Like, do you just listen to that person and forget your own intuitions? Or do you try to have some perspective of both sides and figure it out? Like, you don't want to lose yourself just because the world is telling you something else. But you also kind of want to figure out, let me explore that, right? Let me explore that because I could be the one that's wrong. And then the sports piece, it's you're going to get injured at some point. So it can't just be about I'm D1 at this sport or bust. I'm going pro at this sport or bust, because most people don't make it. And so you can live a very happy life going D3. You could live a very happy life not even playing college sports. You could just play club, but you could maybe play that sport all the way till you're 60, 70 years old. My brother... father-in-law is like 70 something years old. This guy is so happy with life and he still plays hockey. My knees, I don't even think I can play hockey right now.
You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Jose Candelario, and you're hearing the words of Mr. Coleman, New Haven Counts. Mr. Coleman, let me tell you, you are giving examples. You're talking about emotional intelligence, something that sometimes we lack, right? Because our goals or what's perceived as successful or success in our communities is a lot different from the reality of it all. And you determine what success is for yourself, don't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. Based off of what you enjoy, what you're good at, what can help provide a life. So usually that's bringing in some type of income for you, your family, or building a business, and what the world needs. Like, you don't want to do the first three in a way that is counterproductive to what your community needs, what humans need, what the world needs. But yeah, I think figuring out what's going to, and people always talk, is it happiness? Is it satisfaction? Is it contentment? Like, what is the thing people are going for? And you know, I think nuances and words are important, but whatever those things are, like if you're aiming for happiness, you want to be happy and carry that out. What is going to make you happy? Who are the people that are going to make you happy? And really start to craft your life like a business plan, at least. You know, it doesn't have to be a 60-page document, but you got to spend time thinking about what's going to make you happy. Or if you're just waking up every day, I got to go to work. I got to cook dinner. I got to do this. And you're responding and reacting and just doing, at some point, you know, that's when I believe, and I've seen for myself or for others, that's when the breakdowns happen, the bad decisions happen, the momentary depression or whatever it is, right? And I know there are that word is a little bit controversial too, just on what is internal versus external versus a historical thing and all that. But yeah, I think it's just super, the point of that is it's super important to define what success is, but know that it's okay, that it's not going to be a linear process to get there, and that you got to find happiness, success in the small wins every day, and know that you're moving in the right direction. I think that's really what it's about. I'm moving in the right direction, and I'm in, for the most part, enjoying my day-to-day. There are things that we're not going to enjoy about work. We're going to have communication mishaps and mistakes with our loved ones, but it's how quickly do we resolve those, or how do we stay stuck in the negative, stuck in the mud? I think, you know, as long as you're not there.
Where do you go to middle school?
Middle school. So, yeah, foot was elementary, middle, all the way to eighth grade. Okay. They do have a ninth grade.
And then you went to high school?
High school. I applied to Choate and Hopkins, got into both, and I decided to go to Choate.
Okay. Yeah. All right. My daughter would be upset with you, but okay.
And most of my best friends from Foot went to Hopkins. So okay. great school. Yeah.
How was your experience at Choate? Were you the only one or did you find your people there?
Was not the only one, but I also was the only one, if that makes sense. So I found a lot of people through sports. I found people who looked like me as well. But I think everywhere I was always different. And I noticed that right away. I was a day student. Most people were boarding students. I was the only person of color or darker melanin in most of my classes. Played soccer. I was just better at soccer than basketball. I liked basketball, but soccer was my thing. Until really senior year and then track. And that was where I really found a group of athletes who, from all different sports, we were all together for the first time, competing in our individual events. Because we were all trying to get ready for college sports, it didn't matter that it's a football player or a soccer player or a lacrosse player or a basketball player. We were all running track to just stay fit and get ready. And one of my boys from Choate just got married over the weekend, so shout out to him. But high school, it was a learning period. I feel like I didn't know myself as well in high school as I do now. I was trying to just figure it out and get by.
But you didn't suffer from imposter syndrome, did you? Did you feel like you did not belong there, or how did you overcome that?
I think because I got good grades and I was in the honors track, I didn't feel the imposter syndrome, and Choate's not that much different than Foot, except for the, you know, extreme Fairfield County and Westchester County wealth that you're now in front of too. I think, you know, there are a lot of my classmates that went to Foot were definitely much wealthier than I was, but you didn't see it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's quiet and there's flashy wealth. You know, we see it all over the kids growing up now, they see it much worse, actually. Not to get away from me, but they see fake wealth on the internet, people renting and buying things that aren't even theirs to pretend. But they also, you know, they're now one quick click away from young kids making fortunes off the internet and off that attention economy. So I think kids today probably get that imposter syndrome much worse than I think I did. But no, I mean, don't get me wrong. I definitely was trying to figure out where do I fit in. But because of those principles that I grew up with, and I think that experience, I could hang out with any group of people. And although I might not be the center of attention, or I might be kind of just trying to figure it out, that ability to connect with people and at least be in the room and not feel like a complete outsider has led me to be very comfortable in my own skin now.
Move on from Choate. Where did you end up finally making your college decision?
I decided to play soccer at Tufts University. I was looking at potentially walking on at Duke, Georgetown, Yale even. But I was very, very undersized, probably underconfident at that point too. But the Tufts coach gave me the word that was going to happen. So I decided to go there, and my mom went to Tufts. So it was a great school, great academics, great reputation. I liked the campus. I think probably halfway through, though, I was like, I'm tired of these Boston winters. Another kind of exploration period there, but I took a lot of sociology classes. My grandmother was a sociology professor growing up. I used to take the exams that she was giving her class just for fun at the kitchen table. We used to have dinner a lot with her. and just to see how I did compared to the class average, which was an interesting thing growing up. And then, you know, it got me to reflect on kind of sociological principles and things. And I look things up in high school and even in middle school that, like, you know, most kids probably weren't looking up. And so I really was fascinated about, like, the differences between macro data and micro data and just, like, decision making and why certain groups tend to live together and shop together and others might not. Very interesting stuff there. Racial trends, gender trends, demographic trends. So the first professor that I really connected with also was a sociology professor. So I decided I was going to go down that route. I was one credit away from an economics minor. But really didn't, again, connection's a huge thing. I didn't connect with any of the professors. They were mostly European professors coming in, teaching a class for a semester or two, and then, you know, going about their way. But I also, it was the theoretical components of economics that I didn't quite connect with. And so that, both of those have kind of influenced the way that I taught as a teacher. I ended up doing TFA after Tufts. And
that's Teach for America, folks. About,
yeah, TFA, Teach for America. And so that was the full-time impetus for education. The part-time was coming home every summer and training for soccer for the next fall, training for collegiate soccer, and working in the New Haven Public School District. Started out as an assistant teacher, summer paraprofessional, mm-hmm. working with certified educators. Back then, it was the third grade reading recovery program. Yeah.
You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, The Rhythm of the City. I'm Jose Candelario. This is Mr. Coleman, New Haven Counts. Said it's going to be hard to talk about himself because he doesn't like to, but you know what? We're on a roll right now. The story is very interesting. I mean, you've overcome a lot of mental challenges that our youth struggles with. So we can talk a little bit about how that translates into your work, because you've mentioned it several times that it's all about resilience and perseverance. And knowing, you said something really poignant when you said it's always about asking for help. How are these tools now reflective in your work? And do you try to teach this to the next generation?
Yeah. Asking for help and, looking things up sometimes too. I think that's one of the bigger things. Side note there, if, like, you know, simple things that you can look up, like, how do I do something in an Excel sheet or in a calendar invite? Like, you got Google right now. Don't bother people for those small things, right? Unless you've tried it out yourself. But asking for help, especially when you've continued to fail, right? I always believe in trying something or creating a plan, even if the plan is not great, and then sharing that with someone, because it shows you put some thought into it, and that allows the person that's helping you to really get a sense of where you're at. Because if you just ask for help without showing any type of thought, planning, preparation, it's the assumptions that that person will make or that you're really, really struggling. And, like, it's hard to take someone from the beginning or the ground floor. We got to know where you're at. And so how do I relate that to what we do or what educators do? I mean, you got to have assessments on where students are, and you use those assessments to build up to where they need to be. So all of their prior knowledge should be able to come out in the first few times working with them. And you leverage that to show them, hey, you're really good at these things, right? And these other things that you're not good at yet, that is okay. I'm not good at things, right? And I think we should never feel shameful for not being good at something. There are things that we all are good at something. Some of us are good at more things naturally, but we all can get to a certain level. And I think just being ashamed or being shamed for the things we're not good at, that's never helpful. So it's A, this is what you're great at, your strengths, you know, like that old SWOT analysis acronym. Here's what you're good at. Here's where you're a little weak. Let's use your strengths to build on those weaknesses
And then let's make sure we identify some threats. And like the threats could be a learning disability. The threats could be the people in their life that they're listening to that have no idea how to get them to where they want, even though they might love them, right? Not you, like you should not, just because somebody loves you and you love them does not mean they're the best person for advice on everything. And so that, like that process of leveraging strengths to build on weaknesses.
How did we get from paraprofessional Coleman to New Haven Counts?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know if we have enough time for that, but I'll go quick. let's summarize.
You're on the clock. 2 minutes.
Teach for America.
Yeah, great organization.
Great organization. I didn't know what I wanted to do with a sociology degree. TFA had a great recruitment effort at Ivy League schools, NESCAC schools. Came to Tufts. They met with all the, or asked all of the sports captains, club leaders, to meet with them and just hear their presentation. Check it out. I loved the idea of one day all children having great access to education. I saw some of the data that was a little bit alarming. I didn't know about the data at that point in time. I was like, let me give it a shot. Absolutely. It's a 2-year commitment. And I know a lot of people knock TFA for that 2-year commitment, but it does get great people into education, and it gets people who, even if they didn't become great teachers, they are advocates for supporting public education. That could be with their vote, that could be with their money, it could be with their company's money, it could be with policies, etc. So I definitely think more good has been done than harm with that. And New Haven Counts is a product of that. The math side of the tutoring initiative is technically a product of that. My co-founders and I are all TFA alums. And we ended up starting that because I transitioned from teaching for 5 years at Roberto Clemente. 3 amazing years of growth.
My alma mater.
That's right. That's where I met Wanda Faison. And Wanda's a huge part of New Haven Counts today. We have math coaches, literacy coaches who are involved who never would have met without TFA or without being at Roberto Clemente. Shout out to RCLA. Our lead basketball coach is a former student at RCLA. A lot of great stuff happened at that time. In 2018, I was working as a program director, serving as the program director of TFA in New Haven. A lot of management of hiring, placements, professional development for new teachers, and sat in a meeting at an educational roundtable. And Kirsten Levinson, the current and former executive director of New Haven Reads, was just mentioning about a lot of the progress they were making, parent testimonials, student testimonials, shout out New Haven Reads. I was a tutor at the time, and she said, folks are asking for math, but it's not in our wheelhouse. We've got a great system going. We're not going to break it. It's not going to be us. I called up Dan. I said, why not us? Why not? When we started it, we didn't start it to necessarily grow a big organization. We didn't start it knowing there was going to be a citywide tutoring initiative. We started it just to make a little bit of impact. Why wouldn't we just start it without a nonprofit, or why wouldn't we start it elsewise? We thought the nonprofit route was the best way to get extra support and have a brand or have a name behind it. So it wasn't just two teachers doing math tutoring, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. There are a lot of teachers that do math tutoring after school. But what I realized looking back is we could have and probably should have thought bigger faster. Because it wasn't just the students at Roberto Clemente that needed math tutoring. And also shout out to Miss Lord, who worked with me for 3 years on building the Math Counts team at Roberto Clemente. That was another like impetus for this. It was like we saw the power and potential of educators, college students working together with kids. So the Yale Math Counts program, this is a national program, Math Counts is a national organization. New Haven Counts is a local organization. And Math Counts, what they do is they have chapters at all of these local colleges and universities, a lot of the Ivy League schools. they go in to partner with schools, just middle school, high level content, like Mensa style stuff. And for the most part, work with the higher students. So very close to grade level, on grade level, or above grade level. And there's a tournament every year. We used to coach that team at Roberto Clemente, loved every second of it. That program had maybe three or four students when we started. And by the end of it, I mean, there were over 20, 25 students in that program.
Wow.
We went from 24th place in the district to 22nd place to 12th place to third place.
You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the Rhythm of the City. I'm Jose Candelario. Mr. Coleman is sharing his story about New Haven Counts, the .org, to be specific about the website. Now, you're talking about the work that you do with the students. What exactly is it that you do and you provide students now? What age groups are you dealing with?
Yeah, awesome. So most of our programs right now are through the New Haven Tutoring Initiative. That is free after-school math tutoring. We are operating between us and our partners in, and I don't have the sheet in front of me, but it's about 7 or 8 schools and then a bunch of nonprofit organizations. Some of the programs are K-5 leaning. Some of them are full K-8, and then some of them are middle school only, 6 to 8. All of the programs are either application or just enrollment based. They're operating anywhere from 2:30 p.m. until 6 p.m. depending on the program. And then the purpose of the initiative is at least 2 hours of math tutoring a week to designate the high dosage tutoring. And then we work with our programs, our site supervisors. We work with the other nonprofit programs like Squash Haven, New Heights Tennis, Beulah Heights Church, Little Scientists, Music Haven, and others to help them provide the same tutoring amongst all the other programming that they do.
Let me tell you, and this is free. For free, because as you well know, getting tutors, especially at any level, for any student, is costly in this day and age. So if I go to newhavencounts.org, what can I expect to go there? And when I get there, are there forms that I can fill out, applications?
Yeah, actually right now, so we're redesigning some of the website to be more user-specific there. We get a lot of the enrollment from the school, but the easiest place to get information, there's two ways, and you can get it pretty quickly, is to email help@newhavencounts.org. We send you all that information in one email, forms, etc. Everything's really easy. You don't have to print anything out, sign it, PDF it back. All of it is online-based from there. And then the other way, if this is easier, is you can text 203-208-9249. You can email our help desk or text our help desk and they'll get you started. You can say free tutoring. You can say help. You can say math. We'll make it work for you.
Now, who do you want to shout out? This is you had a list. So this is like the Academy Award. Yeah, pull out the list.
This is the best part of the show. I thought it was going to take longer to get to the shout outs. Now I can talk about others. So many great people. First and foremost, we need to shout out Wanda Faison. Wanda has come in this past year to work with us, to lead, to serve, and has grown two of the sites to incredible numbers, works every day in partnership with families, in partnership with students, works right there, like is leading from the front with our tutors. If somebody's absent, she will tutor a student. And so I can't say enough about her heart. I can't say enough about the diligence that she wakes up every day and brings to the table. And so shout out to Wanda. And if anyone knows Wanda and wants their son or daughter to be in her programs, she is leading our programs at Celentano School and at Roberto Clemente. See, it all circles back to Roberto. Celentano School is Mondays and Wednesdays, 2:30 to 4:30. And Roberto is Tuesdays and Thursdays, 3 to 5:30.
Anyone else? Anyone else? You got one? I just wondered.
Wow. I mean, we have to shout out Mayor Elliker and the Board of Alders. The tutoring initiative, the ARPA funding that they set aside summer of 2023, and then Mayor Elliker re-adding this to the next budget is something that we obviously as programs, as NGOs, as nonprofits appreciate, but is something that parents and students and a lot of our tutors are really, really grateful for. Think about this. We have the community service requirements for high school students, and a lot of undergrads have them as well, or are just interested in engaging in the community. And think about the 80 plus, you know, high school students now that have gone through this initiative to be getting 15, 30, some 45 volunteer hours working directly in partnership with students that need mentors, that need mentorship, that need academic supports, keeping both of them off of their phones, right? In a way that is very helpful and serves both, right? And the number of high school students that are seeing or entering their old schools, the kind of nostalgia that comes there and giving back. Like, think about the community that is being built there and seeing former teachers and seeing former administrators and seeing former peers that just go to different high schools now and now serving and volunteering in the same place. And then some of them moving on to internship positions too. And so not running away from education to chase a dollar somewhere else. We have some dollars in education for those who go above and beyond. And so those two things combined, I think, you know, obviously we, New Haven Reads United Way, have created that, but we couldn't have created that without Mayor Elliker. We couldn't have created that without the support of Dr. Negron, superintendent, and definitely the Board of Alders for approving it. So
final statement, final words for parents out there to, you know, to take the initiative to advocate for their children, get them the help that they need.
Yeah. Math can take you as far as you want to go. Math can take you anywhere. Please do not give up on math. Please do not tell your child that you are not good at math. You could tell them you're learning math still, you're getting better, but like, we can't be a community, we can't be a society that gives up on that. Math leads to financial literacy. Financial literacy leads to entrepreneurship. And I mean, successful entrepreneurship. It just leads to bigger, better and more logical things. Math is money and it makes sense.
Thank you so much. Mr. Coleman, newhavencounts.org. Please reach out. Free. I can't say it enough. Help for your children when it comes to math, because let me tell you, it's not getting any easier out there. If you have an opportunity, go out to newhavencounts.org. Get your information there. Reach out to Mr. Coleman and his staff, Wanda Faison. Thank you so much for your time, Mr. Coleman.
Jose, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
This has been the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Jose Candelario. We just heard the words of Mr. Coleman. I don't even want to say his first name. Just call him Mr. Coleman from now on. Newhavencounts.org. And like always, thank you for listening.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.